It's 9:30, and this is Observer Radio News. I'm Anthony Jeremiah, here with Max Smith and Laura Ross. It's a cool and sunny 4 degrees outside our East York studios. Now here are the headlines. The Superior Court hands down its verdict to theater mogul Garth Drabinsky, CBC employees feel the economic crunch, and the federal government tightens rules for prisoners awaiting trial. Now to our top story. Garth Drabinsky and Myron Gottlieb have been found guilty of cooking the books and defrauding investors of millions. Justice Mary Lou Binotto gave the verdict, stressing that the trial was about their company's dishonest accounting and not about its theatrical success. She compared it to an athlete taking steroids. The pair produced many successful Broadway Canada productions, and Drabinsky was named to the Order of Canada for his achievements, something he stands to lose now. They are charged with 2 counts of fraud and 1 of forgery for manipulating the books to outwardly increase profits. The charges carry maximum sentences of 10 and 14 years, respectively. They will appear in court April 8th for sentencing. The CBC is planning to cut 800 jobs and make changes to its programming due to the economy. The broadcaster hopes to sell $125 million in assets to make up for a projected $171 million shortfall. Layoffs will begin in May and continue into the summer, ending in September. Executive Director of Programming Kirstine Layfield says the network will also air more reruns. In addition, returning shows will have fewer new episodes, and new Canadian programming will be postponed until next year. A fire that killed a young woman and child and left 2 others fighting for their lives is now being treated as suspicious by investigators. The 9th-floor apartment unit at Weston Road caught fire at 6 p.m. on Tuesday. Police have not released the victims' names, but relatives at the scene identified them as 22-year-old Chanel Brown and her 4-year-old son. Brown was believed to be 8 months pregnant at the time. It's still unclear why they couldn't escape. The Ontario Fire Marshal's office is now trying to find out what caused the fire, and Homicide is also monitoring the case. The site is now being considered a crime scene and has been cordoned off. There is zero tolerance for impaired driving. That's the message from police services when it comes to avoiding tragedies on the road. On February 21st, over 40 officers from Toronto Police, OPP, and RCMP joined forces to conduct the largest ride spot check in the program's history. Megan Housley has the story.
If you're over the limit, you're under arrest.
Police services took over the Bloor Street Viaduct above the Don Valley Parkway on February 21st to show how serious they are about drunk driving. Over 40 officers took part, stopping every driver who came across the bridge. Officers were also standing by on side streets to catch anyone who tried to turn around and avoid questioning. Staff Superintendent Glenn DeCare explains this tactic.
Anybody trying to evade the detection of drinking and driving, they're going to be captured on either end of the bridge.
The spot check was the largest in the program's history, says its coordinator, Sergeant Jack West of the Toronto Police Traffic Division. West explains how the spot check works.
If the officer has suspicion that there's alcohol being consumed by that driver, they'll have to give a breath test. If it's a warn, they will get their car towed and a suspension period for 12 hours. If the breath results in a fail, now that gives the officer grounds to make an arrest for over 80 milligrams. 2 samples are obtained, they're over the legal limit, then they're arrested for impaired driving.
Sergeant West says that 1 lapse in judgment could lead to a lifetime of regret. He urges everyone to find an alternative to driving if they've been drinking in order to avoid tragedy.
Everybody that leaves their home to go to work in the morning deserve to get home safely at night.
Megan Housley, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
And that's the latest news. Now here's Max Smith with sports.
Thanks, Anthony, and good morning, Toronto. The Leafs are scrambling to tighten up their defensive line after goalie Martin Gerber was suspended for 3 games this week. The suspension comes after Gerber physically pushed and shot a puck at referee Mike Lego. Curtis Joseph, who covered Gerber's post after his ejection, will continue to fill in, as will Justin Pogge of the Marlies, who has been called into the lineup by the Leafs. Pogge's absence, however, comes at a crucial time for the Marlies, who are gearing towards playoffs. Joseph and Pogge will play without Gerber for the first of 3 games tonight against the Sabres in Buffalo. Gerber is eligible to return April 3rd here in Toronto against the Philadelphia Flyers. Canadian Patrick Chan has earned 2nd place at the World Figure Skating Championships taking place in LA last night. After questionable scoring by the judges during Wednesday night's short program, Chan's placement rested at third, amidst boos from the crowds towards the judges. Going into his final routine last night, Chan approached the free skate with a gusto and managed to secure silver. Based on Canada's scoring, Canada will only be able to send two males to the Vancouver Olympics. Canada missed out on sending three skaters by 1 point. Currently second in the world, Chan is a strong chance at bringing home the gold in 2010. Swimsuit season is just around the corner, forcing the masses to sweat it out and get beach body ready. Running on a treadmill like a hamster just doesn't cut it for most people these days. A more stimulating way to trim down can be found at the Steeles West gym, and there isn't a dumbbell or stair climber in sight. Jenna Conter has this story.
A good workout at Steeles West Gym begins with a warm-up on the trampoline. 4 years ago, this center for gymnastics started hosting evening drop-in sessions. Steeles West Gym is open to beginners interested in a good workout and also has the equipment for gymnasts to improve their skills. Alan Kang rents the space from the owner.
Unlike other open gyms, I run like a little warm-up and group kind of stretching, tumbling warm-up first, so just to make sure everyone has something to work on and, you know, they got their basics down. And I get the range of people. I get dancers, I get fight students, computer programmers, you know, everyday Joes who just want to learn something new and different with their body.
The group warm-up lasts about 2 hours. The gym is then open for a variety of training opportunities. For clients like Alana Zatzman, there couldn't be a better way to keep her body in tip-top shape for her job as a stunt performer.
I am a stunt performer and a web graphics designer, and I go here for extra training. It's just good to have extra skills in other areas, and I'm not really skilled in this area, so learning something new is always fun.
Variety is the spice of life, and the people at Steeles West Gym take full advantage of these drop-in sessions. Adults over the age of 18 are welcome to check it out every Monday and Friday evening. Jenna Conter, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
The Raptors are gearing up for their game tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder. With 26 wins and 45 losses, it hasn't been the Raptors' strongest season. This has placed the Raptors at 14th place out of 15 in the Eastern Conference, and fans have been predictably disappointed. The Thunder fares the same with only 20 wins and 51 losses, making tonight's game a battle between equals. Coming off of two consecutive wins, however, the Raptors may be on the rise, or at least that's what TO fans are telling themselves. And speaking of the Raptors, star player and the face of the franchise, Chris Bosh, is facing a child support lawsuit south of the border. Bosh's former girlfriend, Allison Mathis, has made allegations that after his return from the Beijing Olympics, Bosh ended the relationship as well as financial support for her and her unborn child. Mathis is seeking child support and full custody. New court documents, however, confirm that Bosh had filed a petition 6 weeks after the breakup. The petition detailed Bosh's desire to arrange support and custody for his then-unborn daughter. Hopefully, what's happening off the court won't hinder Bosh's performance on it. And that's all from the world of sports this morning. Stay with us after the break when Laura Ross will have the buzz on today's entertainment.
So I, like, totally had the sweats, and I was, like, nauseous, and I thought it was, like, some kind of flu bug or like, something I ate. Like, I'm only 38. Like, I play golf whenever I can, and I, like, totally cut down on my smoking, and I'm not that much overweight. Anyway, so, like, the chest pain, it was like someone was, like, standing on my chest. I could, like, hardly catch my breath. So my neighbor says, like, I'm, like, totally calling an ambulance. Stupid me. I'm still going, like, no. I'll be fine. It's just gas pains. Only now the pain starts spreading to my shoulder and, like, my neck, then my arm. And so, like, finally I'm like, okay, call the ambulance. I got to the hospital and they, like, stopped the heart attack. I mean, like, as fast as it started, with this new treatment that dissolves blood clots. Here's the real kicker. The treatment is so new, it's, like, not available everywhere. Guess it was my lucky day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. A Toronto high school student debuted his comedy I Play at the Sears Ontario Drama Festival. The play takes aim at everything from consumerism to the Apple Corporation. Mike Crisolago was at the show and has this report.
So, what was your name?
An original play written by grade 12 student Jay Fleming left the crowd roaring last night at the 63rd annual Sears Ontario Drama Festival. Aptly titled I Play, Fleming's comedy satirized the Apple Corporation by predicting its plans for world domination. The production was staged at Lakeshore Collegiate Institute in the city's West End. Fleming, who attends Bishop Allen Academy, used his knack for humor as a way to express an underlying social commentary.
I personally believe it's a message of not conforming and kind of thinking your own way, you know. So hopefully that people get that across.
The Sears Festival has very liberal guidelines for content and language. This allows students like Fleming to write shows that fall in line with their own ideas and artistic visions. Tom De Silva, an audience member and Sears Festival alumnus, agrees.
A lot of the time, school plays, usually not student-written, which is a pity because, you know, there are some students out there who are excellent writers.
Each festival show is reviewed by an adjudicator from the theater community, allowing students the opportunity to receive invaluable advice about their work. When asked whether he envisions iPlay on Broadway, Fleming responded with the same quick wit and self-deprecating humor that earned his play a standing ovation.
I hope not. I hope I can write a better one.
Mike Crisilago, Observer Radio News, Etobicoke.
Monsters vs. Aliens is out in theaters today. This computer animated movie comes from the combined efforts of DreamWorks Animation and Paramount Pictures. It's the first animated movie produced in real 3D instead of being converted in post-production. The movie features monsters based on horror movies from the 50s, like Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, Creature from the Black Lagoon, and The Blob. Except in this PG-rated movie, they're the cute and cuddly good guys trying to save the Earth from alien domination. Ginormica is the last of the monsters. She was a regular person until she was hit by a meteorite that mutated her DNA and shot her up to 49 feet 11 inches of girl power. The military has them all under lock and key for the public's safety, until aliens land and the monsters are the last line of defense. The celebrity voice cast includes Reese Witherspoon, Hugh Laurie, Seth Rogen, and Kiefer Sutherland. In other entertainment news, Canadian actor Jim Carrey may be playing Curly Howard in a new Three Stooges movie directed by the Farrelly brothers. If he gets on board with the project, he apparently plans to gain 40 pounds so that he physically looks more like the dumbest stooge. This movie has been 10 years in the making, and there were rumors of the directors casting the Stooges as girls. These rumors are definitely false, as Oscar winner Sean Penn has already signed on for the silent role of Larry Fine. The Farrelly brothers are also considering Benicio del Toro for the part of lovingly brutal Stooges ringleader, Mo Howard. Instead of a biopic, the Farrelly brothers want it to be a modern spin on the Stooges' physical comedy style. The movie will probably be a series of short films rather than a full-length feature. Production will hopefully start in the fall, so the movie can be released sometime in 2010. And that's all for me. Now let's send it back to Anthony for the wrap.
Thanks, Laura. That's the news for now. You can hear more news coming up in about 15 minutes on the internet at ondemand.centennialcollege.ca. On behalf of all of us here at Observer Radio News, thanks for listening, and have a great morning.